One of the longest and most activist papacies in history ended today with the death of John Paul II. He was 84 years old. John Paul was the first Polish pope and the first non-Italian pope in nearly 500 years. He was keenly attuned to world politics, and at the same time, he was intensely spiritual. NPR's Silvia Pujoli has this look at the man who was a modern-day celebrity, but nevertheless maintained a conservative approach to dogma.
Habemus Papam! Eminentissimum ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Carolum, Sancte Romane Ecclesiae, Cardinalem Wojtyła.
Lo hanno chiamato di un paese lontano.
When it was announced on October 16, 1978, that Cardinal Karol Wojtyła had been elected Pope, the crowd in St. Peter's Square was unfamiliar with his name. Then they saw appear a vigorous 58-year-old who described himself as a man from a faraway country. He immediately won over the crowd with his halting Italian, saying, "If I make a mistake, please correct me."
Se mi sbaglio, mi corrigerete.
From the outset, his vision of the world was apocalyptic, clearly defined by the struggle between good and evil. Most of all, John Paul was Polish, and his Polish experience colored all his thinking. Having lived through the Nazi occupation and 3 decades under communism, John Paul had first-hand knowledge of the political and religious divisions of Europe. And he was convinced of the providential nature of having been chosen at a particular time in history to head the Catholic Church. On his first visit back to his homeland in June 1979, John Paul told the cheering crowd in Gniezno, "Is it not Christ's will that this Polish pope, this Slav pope, should manifest at this precise moment the spiritual unity of Europe?" John Paul was born May 18, 1920, in Wadowice, near Krakow. As a young man, he loved poetry and showed a flair for acting. His mother died when he was 9, and after his father died when he was 20, he felt the call to the priesthood. When the Nazis occupied Poland, he began studying theology in an underground seminary. He was ordained after the war, just as the communists took power in Poland. And he was appointed Bishop of Krakow in 1963. In the 60s, he took an active role in the Second Vatican Council, particularly in the debate on religious freedom, where he argued forcefully that the state had no right to interfere in the practice and instruction of religion, a message he reiterated that first visit as pontiff to communist-ruled Poland.
Christ cannot be kept out of the history of men in any part of the globe. The exclusion of Christ from human history is an act against men.
And after the tumultuous changes in Eastern Europe in 1989, John Paul said the irrepressible thirst for liberty had brought down walls and opened gates. But there was a basic ambivalence about John Paul's attitudes toward political change in his native country and political change elsewhere in the world. Only 3 months after his election, he went to Mexico to address a meeting of Latin American bishops and to crack down against liberation theology, the leftist-inspired movement aimed at combating social injustice, which was becoming increasingly popular, but which the Pope believed had led the Church astray.
Some Christians depict Jesus as a political activist, as a fighter against Roman domination and the authorities, even as someone involved in class struggle. The concept of Jesus as a political figure, as a revolutionary, the subversive from Nazareth, does not tally with the Church's teaching.
While John Paul repeatedly proclaimed his backing of Vatican II reforms, his actions were often seen as denying clergy and faithful alike the new freedoms encouraged by the Council. and early in his papacy he staked out his position on what became the single most divisive issue between liberal and traditionalist Catholics. Addressing U.S. bishops in Chicago in 1979, the Pope reiterated his predecessor's ban against artificial birth control.
In exalting the beauty of marriage, you rightly spoke against both the ideology of contraception and contraceptive acts, as did the encyclical Humanae Vitae. And I myself today, with the same conviction of Paul VI, ratify the teaching of this encyclical, which was pulled forth by my predecessor by virtue of the mandate entrusted to us by Christ.
Over the years, he set down uncompromising guidelines on other issues of sexual morality and bioethics. The Vatican denounced the homosexual act as an intrinsic moral evil. It accused states which legalize abortion of totalitarianism and of spreading a culture of death, and forbade in vitro fertilization to help childless Catholics conceive. Many analysts believe the Pope's adamant defense of a celibate clergy contributed to the sharp drop in priestly vocations. He also refused to consider reversing the growing worldwide shortage of priests by ordaining women or married men, or allowing lay pastoral workers to substitute for priests. John Paul saw these as preoccupations of secular and permissive Western societies that he believed had lost their moral fiber. His scathing criticism of what he called the West's supermarket culture reached its climax before the 1994 UN Population Conference.
Ciò che minaccia la famiglia.
Fulminating against the UN population program, which ran counter to the Vatican's position on birth control, John Paul said, what threatens the family, in fact, threatens mankind. This is even more true, he said, when one speaks of a presumed right to abortion. It is now more urgent than ever, he said, to react against forms of behavior that are the fruit of a hedonistic and permissive culture.
Mi domando, a quale società?
His voice cracking in anger, the Pope then asked, what kind of society will this permissiveness lead to? Aren't there enough worrisome symptoms about the future of humanity? Increasing opposition to the Pope's conservatism led to harsh disciplinary methods against liberal theologians who voiced dissent with the Pope's views. Many theologians were banned from teaching in Catholic institutions, a loyalty oath was introduced, and theologians who couldn't agree with Rome were told they must suffer for the truth in silence and prayer. Throughout his papacy, John Paul steadfastly upheld his dogma on the primacy of papal authority, as he had when he scolded priests in Nicaragua who had embraced liberation theology.
En efecto, la unidad de la Iglesia.
Christian unity is being threatened when traditional teaching of Rome is challenged by earthly considerations, unacceptable ideological compromises and temporal options, including a conception of the church that replaces the true one.
John Paul's primary instrument in imposing his philosophy was the appointment of bishops who loyally reflected his views. Many of them came from the highly secretive group Opus Dei, which John Paul embraced by granting it the equivalent status of major religious orders. At the same time, he sharply curbed the autonomy of the Jesuits, whom he considered too liberal and too politically involved. But John Paul's conservatism caused sharp divisions in Catholic churches throughout the world. In Latin America, as fierce battles raged between radical priests and traditional bishops, hundreds of thousands of Catholics turned to evangelical Protestant sects, a loss of membership comparable to that during the Reformation. In Africa, where the number of Catholics is growing faster than anywhere else in the world, the major conflict was over inculturation, the tendency to blend Christian beliefs that were brought by European colonialists with local African traditions and culture. And in Europe, a grassroots movement called We Are Church gathered more than 2 million signatures on a petition calling for greater democracy and autonomy of local churches, voluntary celibacy, and female ordination. The twilight of John Paul's papacy coincided with the clerical sex abuse scandal that rocked the U.S. Catholic Church. Outrage over the American bishop's handling of that scandal triggered widespread demands for greater lay participation in what had become John Paul's highly centralized church. In relations with other churches, John Paul promoted ecumenical dialogue, but his legacy is uneven. Rapprochement with the Anglican Church was put on hold after its hierarchy approved ordination of women, and in 1995 John Paul went so far as to put the stamp of papal infallibility on the Catholic ban against women priests. But it was the dialogue with the Orthodox Christians which caused the most difficulties and which worsened after the fall of communism. The Russian Orthodox Church accused Catholics of poaching on its territory to seek converts. Concerned over the continuing exodus of Christians from the Middle East, John Paul also tried unsuccessfully to broaden the dialogue with Islam. Perhaps he will be best remembered for his contributions to the Catholic-Jewish dialogue.
La religione ebraica non ci è estrinseca.
In 1986, he visited the Rome Synagogue, the first pontiff to do so in 2,000 years of Christianity. There he addressed the Jews as our dear brothers, in a certain sense, our elder brothers. And in March 2000, he fulfilled his long-held dream, a trip to the Holy Land. The highlight was his visit to the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial. There he expressed the church's sadness over what he called the hatred, acts of persecution, and displays of anti-Semitism directed against the Jews by Christians at any time and in any place. Actor, poet, mystic, emotional man of action, and strict disciplinarian, the many sides of John Paul could be seen in the contrasting images of his papacy. When he sternly wagged his finger at a Sandinista priest in Nicaragua, when he huddled in a Rome prison cell with the man he had forgiven, his would-be assassin, Mehmet Ali Agca, and when he, the aging leader of the world's 1 billion Catholics, rested his trembling hand on Judaism's holiest site, Jerusalem's Western Wall. John Paul saw his mission as reversing an erosion of moral values and reasserting church authority. To do so, he himself became a pilgrim and went out to meet his flock in dozens of worldwide trips. But for a large number of Catholics throughout the world, John Paul was unresponsive to the reality of their lives. Perhaps the greatest paradox was that while he was beloved and admired, an increasing number of Catholics refused to follow him unquestioningly. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.